You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 966. 666. The sign of the devil. We've got a great guest with us. We've got Marcus Burnett with us. He's well known in the WordPress community, and he is a founder of a WordPress community-focused website, the WP World. In this episode, we're going to be discussing all things WordPress, WordPress community. Can trust be rebuilt in our damaged community? If it is damaged, maybe Marcus won't agree with that. He would be wise not to be. But there we go. It should be a great show. So, Marcus, would you like to give us a quick 10-second intro? And then when we go into the main part of the show, we can go into more detail about your background.
Sure. My name is Marcus Burnett. I work at Bluehost, the hosting company. I run a couple of teams that build WordPress websites for our customers internally. And I'm also the creator of the WP World, which is a site focused on connecting people in the WordPress world, as it would be. And then more recently, partnered with my friend Michelle Frechette to create Sponsor Me WP, which helps connect potential sponsors with contributors in the WordPress space. So very dialed into the community and all things community, and actually very sad to have missed out on being with some of those folks in person at EU, and looking forward to seeing some people at US.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I've got my ever patient co-host, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, sure, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a small company called Manana No Mas. We focus on e-learning and membership sites. We also work directly with WP Tonic and the good folks at Lifter LMS.
That's fantastic. And like I say, it's going to be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
And coming back, folks, before we go into the main part of the interview, I also like to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show, plus a curated list of the best WordPress technology, plugins and services, all tested by WP Tonic's team. Will save you a ton of time, all curated, fantastic list of resources. You can find all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could my beloved WordPress professionals ask for? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. I'd love to be saying that, Marcus. I get more remarks about that than anything. By English humour, I call it humour, Marcus. Some in the community think I'm a dickhead, but there we go. Marcus, so let's delve into your background. How did you get into the world of web design development and especially WordPress?
Yeah, absolutely. So my passion actually started in graphic design back in college many, many years ago. And I really wanted to find a way to share the design work that I was doing with people, and felt like the best way to do that was to learn just a little bit of web so I could post some things online. This was, I'm going to date myself a little bit, pre-Facebook, MySpace, Behance, Dribbble, all of those things. So you had to kind of build your own piece.
It was the days of purity.
The days of purity, building things with tables, pre-CSS, all of that. But wanted to be able to share that most specifically with my parents, who were trying to figure out how in the world I was going to make a career out of graphic design at that time. So I wanted to show them what I was up to. Started to learn a little bit of web design, web development, and very quickly enjoyed seeing the fact that I could build something that I could then share this little, you know, string of text, a link with somebody, and across the world, across, you know, the country, wherever they could see it. That just boggled my mind, and I wanted to keep doing that. So continued down that path, actually focused more on web design than graphic design, but kind of, you know, meshing the two as I went along, focusing on a lot of UI and UX type stuff for web design. And from there, got a job out of college working at a small agency here in Orlando where I'm located. And I worked there for just over 10 years, building sites for clients, small to medium sized businesses.
You seem too calm that you worked for a regional agency. You know, when I gave up on that, I was like most people that done that for a while. I was a bit twitchy. I had a kind of nervous twitch. You seem very calm, actually, Marcus. You know,
still have a twitch, Jonathan.
Yeah. the twitch is still there. Yeah, no, I am a pretty calm person. I think that was, you know, one of the benefits that I brought to the agency that I worked for was I brought kind of that level, kind of a level head. But I just enjoyed working on a different project, a different industry, a different client every week. Gave me something different to look at, new challenges to face. So I really enjoyed that. Did that for, like I said, just over 10 years. The agency ran into a little bit of turbulence financially. So ended up leaving there and joining SkyVerge, which was a company of that built WooCommerce plugins. Did that right at the beginning of 2020. As COVID hit, they had what my former manager would call catastrophic success as the world moved to online. On e-commerce, and those plugins were all e-commerce plugins. So they came into a bit of success there, hired a few people. I was one of those people. I joined as a support person there because I really wanted to help sort of the agencies that I had just been at. I wanted to be able to help enable more agencies to do more of the things that I was doing at the one agency. So joined SkyVerge. We got acquired by GoDaddy just a few months after I joined. Nice. And then I moved over into field marketing because I came with a wealth of WooCommerce knowledge that no one on the field marketing team had at that time. GoDaddy was looking to launch a WooCommerce product and needed somebody at WordCamps, out in the field, out in those places where the community is, talking about what GoDaddy is doing in WooCommerce. So it was a natural fit. I was able to make it out to lots of WordCamps that way and really join the community and really see what the community was all about. And that was kind of what spawned the WP World, was that community, is seeing how much everyone was giving to each other in the community, how much, you know, everyone wanted to give back to the community. I wanted to find a way that I could give back as well. So the WP World was born there. And then late last year, I left and joined the Bluehost team. And that's where I am now, working with Bluehost customers day to day and continuing to run the WP World.
Bluehost are okay. You know, you're redeeming yourself, Marcus. You know, there we go.
That brings us to now. Like I said,
I'm only kidding. It's my English humor, Marcus. I'm sorry. I call it wit, but there we are. That's fantastic. Over to you, Kurt.
Well, just kind of bounce off of that. Some, I remember when you launched the WP World. I mean, I'm not going to brag and say I was an early adopter, but I think I got in there pretty quick. Wonderful job.
I appreciate that. There.
And I just got to, I wonder, it sounds like you came to the community side of WordPress kind of around the same time I did. Like as COVID was, you know, all ramped up and we went to the San Diego thing. I think San Diego might be where I met you the first time.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego or Phoenix. And I got really wrapped up in the community. Like, as soon as I went to WordCamp US in San Diego, I was super fired up. And then started working with the meetups in the Inland Empire when I lived in California. Volunteered at the Phoenix round. And then when I moved to Kansas, I started my own WordPress meetup here in Hutchinson. And so what is it you think that really wrapped you up into the community side of it? Because I've tried to explain it to people and I kind of fail at it. Like, but you've gone the next level. Like, you're doing the Sponsor Me thing with Michelle. You've got the WP World. I mean, you're running projects about community.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it was a little bit of timing and a little bit of necessity. I think it's really strange. I know, you know, I talked to a lot of people who just assume that I've been in the WordPress community for 10 years because of the WP World, because of some of the things I've done, the connections that I've made over the last few years. But it really has just been kind of since COVID, the last few years. I started using WordPress back in, I want to say about 2015. I was still at that agency and we were using Drupal to build sites at the time. Oh. And yeah, exactly.
It's getting worse. It's getting worse.
And they decided to kind of shift direction a little bit. And we didn't, as an agency, we didn't really agree with the direction they were going. We didn't want to continue. The learning curve was steep enough to begin with, and they were adding to that learning curve in their move from the one version that we were on to the next. And so it was time to kind of reevaluate and see what the next option for us as an agency is. And so we actually landed on WordPress for a couple of reasons, but one of the major reasons was the community, the size of the community. And you know, the number of plugins, the number of people surrounding the project and all of that. And then didn't really utilize that for a solid 5 years. You know, obviously the plugins and stuff. Yeah. But didn't really dive into the community. We picked it for the community, knowing that it was there if we needed it. But then kind of just put our heads down, built client sites, did the work that we were, you know, being asked to do, and didn't really do a whole lot with the community. And then kind of right as I was feeling like, well, we need to reach out. I went to WordCamp Orlando, which was in 2018 or 2019, something like that, because it was in my backyard. And I was like, this is really cool. We should really get involved here. And then WordCamp shut down. And there was, COVID hit and there was nothing, nowhere to go. And so kind of out of necessity, you joined the community online. Through things like Post Status Slack and stuff, and going to some of the virtual, you know, some of the WordCamps went virtual, like WordCamp US 2020 was all online. And, you know, you can do that to an extent. We all ended up with screen fatigue and, burnout from being on Zoom all day, every day after a certain period of time. But, you know, at the beginning, we tried to be involved as much as possible. Things like, was at WordFest, that was on, you know, kind of an online conference that we could all join in. So I really just jumped into all of the different virtual places that I could, out of necessity for one, but also like that accessibility really made it possible, where before, working at a small agency, we had a hard time being able to send people to, let's say, like WordCamp Europe or all of the camps that are in, you know, Spain and France and all of that. Yeah. The huge communities there with lots of WordCamps happening. And so, you know, I went to a couple of WordCamp Orlando's because it was easy. But once everything went online, it was much more accessible. And so I was able to kind of deep dive into the community a little bit more during that time. And then being on a field marketing team, obviously the role there is to go to WordCamps and stuff. So I was able to, you know, branch out and meet some more people in person at different events. But yeah, really, For all of its obvious downsides for COVID, I think it did really help kind of that online community flourish at that time. And, you know, some of that is held on, and as we try to meet up with each other in person.
Well, let me jump in and just kind of like leapfrog us to 2025, where the community is at. And we're halfway through 2025 already. Like, I can't believe the calendar flipped over and
it's for real.
Bricks. But where do you think the WordPress community finds itself? Like, if you took a snapshot now.
Yeah.
And you think about well, this is where I was in 2020. This is where I was in 2023. This is now 2025. How do you think the community's doing right now?
Yeah, and I think leapfrog is the perfect word, right? If we're going to talk about 2020 to now, because that jumps right over kind of what I think is an obvious turning point at the end of WordCamp US 2024. You know, I think we're as a community chugging along doing our thing. And there's obvious disruption, at the closing keynote of WordCamp US 2024. That obviously fractured a bit of the community, eroded some trust and left the community trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces and what does that look like moving forward. I do think now having been removed, I mean, like you said, flip the calendar. It's already halfway through. We're almost, you know, we're coming up on a year since that closing keynote now. And I do feel like we've started to build some of that back up. There are sadly some key WordPressers in the community that, that left that we just don't have with us now. But those of us that, that are here picking up the pieces, I think we've started to get back to a place where, you know, we're openly having open communication about the things that we want to see going forward. And that's kind of where my focus has been, both through, you know, my job at Bluehost, but also through the WP world, is how do we not necessarily dwell on, you know, the past year, but how do we move forward? What is it that the WordPress community needs moving forward? So even in thinking through, like, what do I do with the WP world? Where do I move with that? What is it that the community needs? That's kind of the lens that I'm looking at projects like the WP world through, is how do I create something that unites the community, that brings us back together? What are the things that we need? And I think there's a lot of positivity. And I think, you know, it's still a little bit of a roller coaster. There's still, you know, the things that come up that make people question each other and other motives and stuff. But I think on the whole, there's been a lot of positivity over the last, you know, 8-10 months, as we try to figure out, well, we're all committed here to this project, to WordPress. You know, it's right in the name, WP Tonic. We're all in this together. How do we move forward together? How do we figure out what each other needs? How we can help each other continue to do the things that we've been doing. Ultimately create good, you know, great sites for our customers and help them be successful utilizing this platform. So, like I said, as a snapshot, it is a leapfrog over 2024. That is, you know, kind of definitely a turning point in the community. And it is different than it was in 2023, 2022, even 2020 with COVID. But I do think that the community is starting to come back together, starting to see how we can continue moving forward, and do it. Things like the fair project manager piece, where the community is kind of rallied together to figure out how we can, you know, create some stability in the system that we all love, so that we can continue to move forward.
Nice, nice. Well, I want to jump it back over to Jonathan so he can move us along.
Yeah, the bit about the community, I have my own views. I'm very torn about what you've outlined, Marcus. I do agree with a lot, but there's a conflict in myself that I just want, but I'll probably leave that to the beginning of the second half of the show. But what I'd like to cover is something interesting that you brought up, that you are part of this agency, a regional agency, and I used to work for a regional agency in Northern Nevada. And there are many regional agency between 20. The one I worked with was a rather large regional agency because it used to do a lot of work for other agencies in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
So it had over 100 staff members. But a lot of these agencies are utilizing WordPress on multiple projects on a weekly basis, but they feel no necessity to be part of the professional WordPress community. What led you to actually think, you know, because you said you worked for a regional agency for TV, mm-hmm. and then another one, and you felt that it you and the agency would get benefit. I would say the bulk of agencies, regional agencies between 5 and 25 people, the bulk of them don't feel that need. What drove you to think that there would be benefits? And in your own mind, what are the clear benefits for our agency, for the clear founder or the key people to be involved in the WordPress community, Marcus?
Yeah, that's a good point. And that was very much my story, right? I've definitely worked at that agency on WordPress projects for a good 4 or 5 years without ever stepping foot really inside the community, whether it's online or in person. So it is an interesting question. And yeah, there are so many agencies out there that aren't really, I don't want to say part of the community, but part of kind of...
I would say the bulk... I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, I would say the bulk of agencies, PR, graphic, marketing, the bulk of them don't even know that Matt Moheg is the joint founder and Automatic is a major part of the story. They don't even care. They don't even know. Would you say I was on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally fair. And yeah, that is what it looked like for me. I didn't know all of that or care to know. And I will say, to some degree, if WordPress is just a tool in your tool belt and you're just trying to build some websites, I don't know that any of that matters to you as an agency. Now, obviously, we know on the tail end of WordCamp US 2024 that stuff matters, that obviously conversations have been had since then surrounding Automatic, surrounding Matt and all of that would eventually come into play when you're an agency and things are changing for you. For instance, moving to one new WordPress release per year. That's kind of come on the tail of that because of contribution hours going down and everything. If you're an agency, you don't really know necessarily why that happened, but all of a sudden you went from having 3 new releases of WordPress a year, 3 or 4 to 1. So obviously that affected you. Do you care? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you wonder why there's only 1 new release. Maybe that erodes a little bit of trust for you. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe you think WordPress is stable enough that it doesn't need multiple releases a year. Whatever your opinion is, you know, on how you view the project, how you view things. But whether you know about what's happening, you know, post that keynote with contributions and Matt and Automatic, it still affects you at the end of the day, because you now only have one new release of WordPress every year. But for the most part, none of that really matters. What I think drove me to wanting to be part of the community was I felt like I could chug along and I could find some new plugins and I could learn a few new things about WordPress. And over the course of 10, 15, 20 years, I'd have a good handle on it. I felt like being part of the community, showing up to a WordCamp in person or being more present with the community online would be a catalyst for learning more about WordPress, more about the ecosystem, what's available to me as a developer. Now I'm coming at that point, coming from it as a developer, designer developer at the agency. And I felt like I was learning new things, but I didn't have anybody really around me inside the agency that I could learn from about where I should focus my attention in learning new things in WordPress. And so being part of the community was my way of kind of increasing the speed at which I would learn new things about WordPress and the ecosystem. I would say probably the same benefit if you're an agency owner. You're going to learn, sure, you can go about your business running it the way you want to run it. Maybe you'll find a few other agency owners here or there that that you can bounce some ideas off of. But being involved in the community, there are so many more that are just openly sharing their business processes, offering how they run their agencies, the results that they're getting for trying different things inside their agencies.
Well, it's definitely a very different, I think I'm right, I can't remember now, but I used to be forced to attend the Northern Nevada American Marketing Association meetings. I found them appalling. I literally had to have a shower after one. They're very different to WordPress meetups, in style, and
a lot of those end up being a one-upsmanship type of thing too, where I'm just showing up here because I want to prove to you that I'm, you know, show you how I'm better.
It put me off marketing, it put me off marketing really, and I've had to get over it and really become a marketer for my own business. But there was a mental block, but I've been forced into it, and I think I've become reasonably effective. But going to those meetings actually put me off, because there are some of the most shallow people I've ever met in Christian. But I think WordPress, I just want to put this before we go for a break, because I'm trying to get the break time, because we started a little bit later than normal. I'm not having a go at you. Kirk had some sound troubles, as everybody does occasionally. What I wasn't aware is, I think there's been various factors here, but I think the major one was COVID, is that the regional WordCamps were really important in attracting people into the WordPress professional community. And I think they've been really decimated. I think there was problems with burnout. I think running a statewide, let's say you were running the WordCamp for California, which was running Sacramento, or you're running the WordCamp for Florida, it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of work. And I think people do it year after year, and they keep on doing it because they've invested so much time in it. And COVID, they couldn't do it, and it gave them a couple of years, and they think, I can't go back to doing that. It was just taking up too much time. And now, you know, I wasn't getting paid for it. It was just taking up. And I think the regional ones have been really hard hit. The other thing is, I like to get your input on that, if you think I'm correct. And the other factor is, I wasn't aware that, I think community is a rather vacillous word. It has some core meaning, but I noticed with regional, and especially WordCamp Europe, WordCamp, there seems to be a WordPress professional class, as I call them, that gets sponsored to all these international WordCamps. And basically, they're working for either the hosting companies, or they're working for Automattic, or they're a plug-in shop. And they go to these because they're selling to developers, basically. They're selling hosting plugins, or they're trying to attract WordPress talent. Mm-hmm. And which is fair due. But I think I don't actually know what the point I was trying to make there, because I'm probably stating the obvious, but I think sometimes there isn't really total honesty of why people are going to these WordCamps, and there's a self-denial of the commercial reality of these meetups. I like your response to the two points I've made.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll take them individually. So the first part with the local, the regional meetups, being decimated. You're spot on. I've talked to plenty of organizers. Those were a ton of work. There's a different level of expectation for what one of those looks like versus a meetup. Like a WordPress meetup is pretty simple. You pick a place, you kind of get together. If somebody has something that they want to share, they can share it. It's fairly low stakes. Couple hundred bucks for pizza, and everybody's happy. Everyone gets to hang out together. No big deal. But the regional WordCamps themselves bring a bit of a higher expectation for what that looks like. The problem is they're not always, you know, enough people to justify the amount of work that goes into those. Again, like you said, they're not paid. These are all volunteers that organize these WordCamps. And
it tends to be one to two core individuals, and it just takes up too much time.
Yeah.
If there's any way, because unless this is, this, in my opinion, unless this is improved, I really think it's very damaging that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the proving ground for the larger camps in some ways, but we don't have that proving ground anymore. You know, from a, like I said, the attendance, I think, is part of it too. These organizers are working so hard to put together a camp that in a lot of cases is 100 to 200 people. I've come at this from the sponsor side, from working in the field marketing side of things. And, you know, it's hard to justify sponsoring, you know, the amount of money that's needed. And the money is not going, like you said, it's not going to the organizers. It's going to the venue and everything else. Venue costs have gone up. That's also a big reason why it's become harder to put these regional events on. You know, if you can't get the sponsorship dollars, then you're stressing about that as an organizer. You can't get the venue that you want. So now you're settling for a different venue. And when the venue is not as nice as it has been in the past, then the attendance is lower, and it's just kind of this spiral to the bottom.
I do. And I mean, I'm not being rude here. I sure do blame how the foundation and its, I do blame Matt, expecting specifically people that are running these regional WordCamps, the amount of work he must have been aware that they were putting in, and having no mechanism to pay them and not really caring. I do place it on him personally for this.
Yeah, I don't have all the answers to the internal workings of how the budget works for each of these camps, but I do know that it's a lot of unpaid work. And I think to your point, COVID had a lot to do with giving these organizers a break that maybe in some cases they didn't know they needed. And then having had that break, realizing that it is just too much work to go back to.
Yeah.
And so you end up with a whole bunch of organizers that take a step back. You don't have a whole lot of people who want to jump in and take that on themselves, especially when the person who's stepping out is saying, you know, I'm stepping out because this is so much work and you don't get paid for it. You're doing it on top of your normal, you know, daily job hours. And yeah, it's been really hard to relaunch those. I think that is where I hope that we can have more meetups, to kind of fill in that gap. And one of the core reasons why I started the WP World was so that we can see where people are in the WordPress space and see if there's enough folks that might be interested in a particular town or city for a meetup here or a meetup there, or, you know, if there's enough people in the WordCamp.
So I think also what happened last year has really finished off a lot of the traditional people that were running these. It was the last straw. And it opened their eyes. The Kamara was kind of, the curtains were drawn and they could pull back and they saw how the whole thing was actually owned and run. And I think it's appalling how it was set up. I don't expect you, but I've made it totally. I don't go into personal attacks.
Sure.
But I find the whole thing to be appalling how it was set up and run. And it's not good enough, as far as I'm concerned. It's just not good enough. But that's my opinion. I'm going to let you respond to the second part in the second half of the show, if you don't mind, Marcus. We're going to go for our middle break. We've had a fantastic discussion, I think. I've tried not to butt in too much, folks. I think I've controlled myself. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We've had a great first half. Marcus has really put some great points to us, folks. It's been a great discussion. Before we go into the second part of the show, I just want to point out, if you're looking for a great hosting partner, why don't you look at WP Tonic? We are a boutique hosting provider. We tend to specialize in membership and community-focused websites. What you get the best hosting, vulture hosting. You get all the best WordPress technology as part of the hosting package. It's not bootlegged. They all the plugins that we provide as part of our packages have full licenses. Like I say, they're not bootlegged. And you get full support. And we're your partner, your back door partner, your white label partner. So if you're taking a large project and you're a bit concerned, you have backup with us. It's a great package, folks, aimed at the WordPress professional. Go over to wp-tonic.com/partners, wp-tonic.com/partners, and find more about our partner packages. Let's build something fantastic together. Right, so Marcus, so would you like to take the opportunity to respond to the second part point? I'm not sure if you really want to, because I'm not sure if I was just waffling, really. I just sense that sometimes there's not enough honesty about why a lot of these people, I'm not having a real go at them.
True.
But, you know, and you get this kind of round the camp site, but they're all there, really, a lot of them. But there's another crowd that are really there for very virtuous reasons, because they really believe in open source. There's a group from the beginnings of WordPress that really contributed, and they have contributed a lot of their time over the years, because they really believe in the principles of open source. And I think they have been misled a little bit as well by, and their commitment to WordPress has been damaged by what happened last year as well. What do you think, Marcus?
Yeah, I agree and I disagree at the same time. I do think that, so WordCamps have been, for better or for worse, have been labeled as these non-sales conferences. If you go to a lot of other conferences outside of the WordPress space, very clearly people are there looking to, you know, make sales connections and set up purchase orders and all of that. WordCamp is not that kind of a camp.
Not really.
At least it's not labeled that way. So I do, however, think that the underlying virtuousness of wanting to support open source, wanting to support WordPress is still there. Yeah. For example, if you look at the amount of money, I'll just say Bluehost because that's where I am now, the amount of money that Bluehost spends on a global sponsorship to sponsor all WordCamps across the year, and then also separately on WordCamp US, WordCamp Asia, WordCamp Europe, plus the amount of money spent on the booth for Bluehost and Yoast, plus the dozen or so folks that are coming from all sorts of different places around the globe, flights, hotel rooms, all of that stuff. There's no chance that Bluehost sells enough of anything at that conference to make up, yeah, at all of those combined, to make up the money that is being spent there. So while Bluehost is obviously there as a sponsor, hoping to sell you on some hosting to make sure that you know that.
And there's nothing wrong with that, is there? I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Especially if you're very clearly labeled a sponsor, you're there, you've spent money to be there and set up a booth, and you get to talk to people about what you do. There's a whole exhibit hall that is, at least at the larger camps, a whole exhibit hall that's dedicated to you walking around talking to people who are clearly looking to sell something while they're there. Now, whether the sale is direct or indirect is, depends on the product, depends on the customer. But I will say that while it's clear that all of those companies are hoping to make a sale, no amount of sales will provide the ROI that an accountant at one of those companies is hoping for. When they look at how much money is being spent on the sponsorship, the booth, the people, and all of that. So I do think that there is a bit of, we're spending this money because we want this money to be part of the WordPress ecosystem. We want to fuel the ecosystem. We're sending these people because we want people to make connections with other hosting companies, with other product companies, with agencies. We want people to have that community connection, so that when you think, when you're an agency and you're like, well, my hosting company just doubled their prices, you know, what's my next option? Oh, well, I went to WordCamp and I talked to, these three hosting companies. Let me reach out to them and see what we can do. A lot of it is kind of long play. But I do think, yes, there are some sales happening, but I do think that the underlying virtuousness is still there when you think about the amount of money being spent versus the amount of potential money in sales. I don't think that they're anywhere near each other.
Yeah, my position on this, and I'm not saying I'm right, I'm just going to put you, is that I think some of the major sponsors have been spending too much money on the national and international WordCamps. Obviously, Asia.
Well, they're the only ones that are left. So,
well, yeah, but I think you could put an argument about Asia because, it's a low, it's a growing market. And I think a lot of the growth in WordPress, you could say, is in the Asia area. But in general, I think what is more important, and I think we touched it in the first half, is somehow regenerating the regional WordCamps, because I think a lot of the influence and growth for the hosting, for the major plugin shops, it's difficult because some of the major plugin shops are now not based in North America. They are in the Indian subcontinent or in Asia. They are based, and they're not really interested in sponsoring because the economics, basically, mm-hmm, to some degree. But I found, as an example, there's some major IT SaaS, and if they're based in the Indian subcontinent, they don't really sponsor really for events. Zoho is an example of this. It's a $2 billion SaaS company, but they don't sponsor anything. But I really think the host, and I'm not picking on Bluehost at all, is that I really think the major hosting companies really want to look at working together on the regional. and really spreading more money online at creators. I would say that because I am a creator myself. But I do honestly believe that more money for WordPress, YouTube, podcasting, whatever, because I think more people are influenced online. And so I personally think too much money goes on the international and I'm not too sure about really what is the purpose of WordPress US, really, to be quite truthful with you. I'm not too sure of its purpose anymore. Would you like to respond?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's much like it has been in the past. I think the major WordCamps, the flagship WordCamps, are Hangout. I know that some work has been done to try and get more of the, to bring in more speakers from outside the WordPress space to garner some more interest in some of the sessions and stuff. But if you listen to anybody talk about what their favorite part of WordCamps are, it's the hallway track. It's the getting to spend some time with other people in WordPress. Whether you're an agency looking for other agencies to bounce ideas off of, or a plugin company looking for agencies or freelancers that may be interested in your plugins. Like you said, those deals, kind of that back and forth of business chatter is happening, even though WordCamps aren't labeled that way, but it's happening through the lens of networking and community.
Saying obviously going somewhere in Europe, if you're working for a major hosting company and taking a flight to Porto in Portugal or Bale in Switzerland and putting it against your business expenses, who wouldn't take it up? And I'm not having a go at those people, because I'll be a hypocrite, because if I was in their position, I'd probably do exactly the same. But I think it's just a balance, because I think the regionals have been hammered, absolutely hammered. And I think there's consequences there, non-term consequences about them being hammered. And it's not really been talked about. And that's why I thought this would be a great discussion.
I don't know what the end all be all answer is for reviving the regional camps. I know that some conversations have been had between, a lot of the usual larger sponsors, a lot of hosting companies. I know that some conversations have been had there to try to figure out what that looks like. I know the sponsors haven't felt like they've gotten much out of sponsoring those events, which has, led them to pull back on sponsorship. That pullback on sponsorship is what's led organizers to be burnt out and all of that. So something needs to be changed in the way that sponsors get some sort of ROI in return, whether that's, there's been discussions about the sponsors getting attendee list so that they can send an email to.
Well, I think I personally think it comes from a foundation that has an actual budget, has income that's coming into it, which then it can directly sponsor people to do these regionals, and it's all linked together, Marcus.
Yeah, and that's what the global sponsorship is meant to be. And I don't know if the global sponsorship is not charging enough, right? Maybe the global sponsorship needs to be a higher amount so that there's enough funding there. Maybe there needs to be more than four global sponsors so that the funding is there. I mean, it all, again, ties back to the sponsors not feeling like they are getting enough from spending that kind of money. I mean, the global sponsorship is $150K. If you're going to drop that kind of money, you want to have, and again, there's the altruistic side that you want to support the WordPress ecosystem, and that's great. But somebody somewhere in that company is going to ask you if you're getting something back for that $150K, besides having a logo on a bunch of websites for WordCamps. And so there needs to be something something tangible that sponsors are getting in return that helps them feel like that's a worthwhile price tag to pay to keep these regional camps going. And then I don't know, maybe the expectation for what a regional camp is needs to be lowered a little bit to be.
I think you're spot on. I think
closer to a meetup.
It's a combination of factors, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, so that organizers don't get burnt out by just the thought of trying to figure out where, you know, venue and sign.
Well, they were trying to, the aspirations were growing from the people attending, and they were kind of comparing them. They were like trying to become almost like WordPress US or WordPress Europe.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like
WordCamp Phoenix
is just about at a level at one point where it could have been a national camp, but I don't know. I think maybe the expectation of what that looks like needs to come down so it is a larger meetup, essentially. And sponsors get a little bit back in return. Sponsors can spend a few bucks on this larger meetup, basically, and we can all get together and do the same things that we've been doing. It doesn't need to be the world's fanciest hotel ballroom that we're meeting in or whatever the case is. And I think some efforts have been made to try to work that out. But again, we're working with a small pool of people who are interested in organizing because the last wave of organizers have been burnt out and have all but left.
Sad for them. It's been a sad, I just wanted to discuss. I have lost track of the time here, Marcus. And my poor co-host has been extremely patient. But I think you've got to go soon, Kirk. And I think for some unfortunate reasons, I've taken up too much of the second half. Do you want to put the next question or do you really need to be off in the next couple of minutes, Kirk?
I need to be off, but I think the way I phrased the question might help the conversation and maybe I feel a little guilty for asking and leaving, but for me, the questions that we had planned on were focused on community growth in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of work in power sports. And so they did a root cause analysis in power sports to figure out why only old dudes buy motorcycles. And they determined that the earlier they can get kids on bicycles,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's going to take 15 years, but if we can get kids on bicycles in kindergarten, when they graduate high school, they're going to buy a motorcycle, right? Like that's just kind of how that goes. And if I take that idea from a root cause analysis perspective, and I think about a talk I did at the high school here a couple months ago, I spoke to 60 kids that wanted to be in my room, that asked to come to the WordPress agency guys talk. Mm-hmm. Out of 60 kids, only two of them had heard the word WordPress before, and none of them had ever heard open source. And so one of our questions was, where does leadership play a role in developing a growing WordPress community? And I think it's one thing to talk about WordCamps and meetups because for people that are kind of already in the fray, mm-hmm. but how do we approach leadership and say, how you need to do a root cause analysis and figure out where the future users of this platform are going to come from, and then how do we incubate that?
I think they're great points. Now, Marcus, are you available to continue the conversation for some bonus content, or do you have to clear off?
No, I'm good. I can keep going.
Because I haven't done a very great time with the management. So we're going to wrap up the podcast part of this show, folks, but we're going to continue the discussion, the whole, and you'll be able to watch the whole interview plus the bonus part of the show on the WP YouTube channel, which has now got over 10,000 subscribers. I went over last month, and we love you to subscribe to that. So we're going to wrap up the podcast. So, Kurt, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Kurt?
Manana no Mas always leads to me on the internet, Facebook, X, all those. And then Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there, so it's easy to find me.
And I do appreciate your patience, Kurt, because I've done a terrible job on the time management of this show, which I normally do a better job, folks. Marcus, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and your views on WordPress, Marcus?
Yeah, probably most active on X, Twitter X, at Marcus D. Burnett, or of course on the WP.world. You can find me there as well.
Yes, and if you want to support the show, like I say, go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel, watch the bonus part of this show, and also subscribe to it. That's a great way of supporting the podcast and what WP does in the independent media area of WordPress and SaaS. We will be back next week with another great interview. Well, I think next week is our notorious monthly roundtable show. And we've got a great special guest, and Devon from Stellar WP. He's a great friend of the show. And we got the normal panel, which should be a great discussion. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.